TV set all night
and every day.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 9, TV Leftovers. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVaholic from tvaholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com.
Very good. Amory is going to do the news today. We're switching things up. We are also going to try a little something new and not have any breaks this time. So we're going to see how it goes.
Here we go. A couple things in the news this week. Let's start with Tim Kring, who, if I'm being honest, should just be let go of Heroes, or let go from Heroes. The dude needs to go. Saying about viewers that we're a bunch of saps and dipshits, only people that watch it live are a bunch of saps and dipshits, and that DVRs have ruined serialized TV viewing. Thoughts?
Want the full quote? I could give you the full quote.
Sure. Yeah, go for it if you have it.
As reported by IGN, serialized storytelling is a very flawed way of telling stories on network television right now because of the advent of the DVR and online streaming. The engine that drove serialized TV was you had to be in front of the TV when it aired. Now you can watch it when you want, where you want, how you want to watch it, and almost all of those ways are superior to watching it on air. So watching it on air is related to the saps and the dipshits who can't figure out how to watch it in a superior way.
My first comment is that I don't believe that all of those methods are superior to watching a show as it airs, but I mean, I guess that's my opinion. I think there
my opinion. There
may come a day when those things are superior, but I don't think they're currently superior. And if those things are superior, then why is it screwing up serialized television? Like, he's contradicting himself. Like, how, if it's superior for me to watch it online or for me to watch it on DVD, then why exactly is it screwing up how I watch it? Like, what?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's screwing up serialized TV. Tim Kring.
Oh, Tim.
Bad storytelling is screwing up serialized TV.
Crappy TV is screwing up serialized TV.
While DVRs and streaming has grown over the last couple years, it's not like people weren't doing that a couple years ago when Heroes was good. So
yeah, right. I have the same TiVo box that I had when Heroes premiered.
Exactly. Well, you know, you guys know my issue before with Tim Kring and his comment about how at the end of season one, when people were questioning why Peter didn't just fly away, and he was like, you're not supposed to think about that. And that told me everything I ever needed to know about Tim Kring right there. I tried to ignore it, but now all I can think when I watch the show is, I'm not supposed to be thinking about this because Tim says I'm not supposed to be thinking about it.
The other thing he said in that was also that he has no ending and never had any ending in mind, and that the original idea was not to keep, you know, the same characters around from
Well, they said that before. They said that originally when they started, so I understand that. But then they made it a serial type of show, so maybe now you should come up with an ending, or you should at least say, we have an ending for the end of this chapter, and then we'll work out a new one.
That's why I can forgive Damon and Carlton on Lost for, like, meandering storylines, because I know they have an end. I can even forgive Mark Cherry, you know, for Desperate Housewives, because he has an end in sight. But, like, you can't forgive someone who flat out is like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, he was always more interested in making it about the characters, but whatever. I still think that part of what makes the show so bad is that they have a different writer writing each different character, or a different set of writers writing each different character.
Right.
When it comes together, it's bad. Even he said it in the same talk. He was talking about how when they first bring the first draft to the table, it's bad. Because everybody's writing, you know what I mean? Everybody's off writing their own characters, and they're not thinking about everybody else's storylines. Okay, well, that's not a good sign, but whatever.
Right, no.
I will say, all right, before you move on, I just want to, like, get it out there, because I don't think we have Heroes down to talk about, that I actually still enjoy the show to some degree, but as I watch it, I think to myself, I can't be overthinking anything, because, you know, that's what's happening behind the scenes. So, all right, move on to your next.
My next thing is, and this is going to tie into primetime, because I talked about it last week, but Shonda Rhimes, and I think I brought it up last week, where I mentioned that she says that the love story she promised for Izzy at the beginning of the year, he's the dead guy. Okay, anyway. Shonda Rhimes says that it's not a brain tumor. It's not a spoiler. She doesn't do spoilers. It's not a brain tumor. And she can't wait to hear or to see how we see it play out. I read a quote from her today that said, she just really wants the actors to just play this story out. I'm like, what the hell is the story? Thoughts on Denny, Izzy, and Shonda Rhimes and her delusions?
Well, she also said something about that she thinks this, like, storyline is one of the most interesting things they've done on the show to date.
Yeah. And she said something about chemistry and how they have such great chemistry. And we talked about it last night at my house. Like, watching it, not me and Shonda. We don't hang out. me and my friends. But
although I'm sure she's listening to the podcast.
She absolutely is. Tim Kring is, too, and he's pissed. But, well, I said the thing about the chemistry and how she says that, you know, Katherine Heigl and JDM have such great chemistry. And we're just sitting there watching. She's making out with a dead guy. I can't concentrate on great chemistry because he's a dead guy.
Here's the thing about it's not a brain tumor. Then where are you going? Is she insane? Yeah. Because what else are we like? It's not like this is supernatural. This is not Ghost Whisperer. This is not. There's no supernatural. Blah. There's no supernatural elements to Grey's. So what are we supposed to think about that?
Right.
My only thought on the brain tumor is that maybe Shonda has the brain tumor since she thinks that this is a good idea.
Yeah. So she thinks it's the most interesting thing they've ever done.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Okay,
girl. I could go on for hours. But we'll talk more about that in prime time. Big sad news, which really I'm trying to avoid talking about. But ABC has optioned not to pick up the back nine of Pushing Daisies, Dirty Sexy Money, or Eli Stone. And my heart breaks a little bit for all of that. They're not officially canceled, but Brian Fuller pretty much is like, yeah, we're done.
I don't have a whole lot. I mean, I'm sad too, but quite frankly, they just were not performing.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
I'm not blaming it on ABC. I can blame ABC for not promoting because I feel like they didn't do a lot of promotion this year for it.
Right.
But beyond that, I can't blame them for the fact that viewers just were not coming back. And I don't know why they weren't, but they weren't. And there's no getting around that.
I definitely think so on the promotion end. I mean, how many times watching shows, even if you're fast-forwarding through them or not, you still would see ads for even, you know, Dirty Sexy Money or Desperate Housewives, but very seldom ever, maybe an audio mention of, you know, like Pushing Daisies on Wednesday or something like that, but no video commercials or anything. You never saw, you know, especially in the last few weeks, I haven't seen anything about it. It's like as soon as it starts heading in the wrong direction, then they just put all their time and effort towards something else,
right.
And then it completely fails, and you're like, and it dropped off like what, like a million and a half or 2 million viewers or something like that from like the week before or the last time an episode aired. And that's because there's partially, I mean, there was no advertising, at least on ABC, for like the last couple weeks that I saw, saying that it was going to be on. So it's sort of,
I mean, on one hand, it's
upset that way.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of a convoluted show, and you do have to kind of, and I read something today that people have to focus, not focus, but it took forever for them to even regain new, like, viewers. If they were going to get viewers, they had to take a whole episode to explain the powers and what happens in the show. So they kind of lost an episode, and then viewers were like, I can't understand this. Why is he, like, touching people?
That's underestimating the viewers a little bit there, I think.
A little.
I don't think they needed to explain it. I think they could have just got off the ground running. Like, it's obvious what's happening in the show, but it doesn't.
Well, as I remember, you didn't particularly care for that 15-minute intro.
I know.
The season.
I didn't, because it was all just rehash, and it was like they pushed so much into it that it was just too much to handle. Like, it was so much narration, and I think that's just, like, information overload. But, I mean, obviously, it wasn't just that episode. They weren't coming back for any of them. So, you know, there's not. I mean, I agree the promotion should have been better, but I can't deny that they still weren't getting the ratings, even without.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Like, I can't say that.
They weren't even keeping the ratings, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So, like, the people who were watching were not returning, like, week after week, and that's not because of promotion, so.
I do want to bring one other show up about cancellation, and we talked a little bit about NBC canceling Lipstick Jungle and My Own Worst Enemy. Brooke Shields, Kim Raver, Robert Buckley, they're all going on record saying that they haven't been canceled.
Okay, just because you haven't got the official notice that you've been canceled doesn't mean you haven't been.
Yeah, I mean, is that just them holding on and being, like, a little too clingy, or do they know something we don't know?
She may have some star power that they're not, like, coming out and actually canceling it, but, like, they're not getting good ratings, and they weren't getting the ratings on Wednesdays. They're not going to get them on Friday. So I don't think that they're going to be around, but maybe they just haven't.
So Brooke and Kim and Robert, I know you're listening. It's time to move on. Anything else news-wise? Newsworthy?
No.
No. I think we're good for news.
All right, let's move on to the topic.
Let's move on.
Since this podcast is coming out on Thanksgiving week, we thought we'd have a nice discussion of TV leftovers, or at least the idea of shows rerunning shows or not rerunning shows. This topic, the topic of reruns, was suggested by Chris Vaughn, who thinks we have a fantastic podcast. It definitely fills the void left by the loss of the TV Guide weekly podcast. So keep up the great effort. And I say,
thank you, Chris Vaughn. We love you.
Thank you.
We do love you. I'm sorry. I was laughing at my little woo that nobody heard anyway. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm a woo girl.
A woo girl.
Woo. All right, move on to the topic.
No, that's going on forever.
Suggested topic for the upcoming episode is the concept of reruns. He asked, why don't networks bother rerunning shows from the beginning of a season anymore? Especially shows like the aforementioned Pushing Daisies or Fringe or Life on Mars. He thinks that people could use the opportunity to catch back up.
One, Fox has rerun Fringe, haven't they? Or if they haven't rerun it, it's because the times it's been off air, they've actually had something else airing in its slot, like a baseball game or, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Pushing Daisies, the only time it was off air was those 2 weeks, and it was because they had other things that were running in those 2 weeks. So that's why they don't have a rerun of Pushing Daisies. I will go back to that in a second. I don't know about Life on Mars. Has that had time to do a rerun either? I'm just addressing those three that you particularly brought up. But
yeah, well, partially on those, there hasn't. It's, you know, sort of early in the season, but
right,
exactly.
There hasn't really been a lot of off weeks to rerun stuff.
I'm guessing Fox will rerun Fringe. Is what I'm saying. Like, Fox will definitely rerun Fringe because, one, it can exist week to week, and two, it's bringing them decent ratings. I don't know about Life on Mars, because part of the reason they don't rerun something is because it doesn't bring them the ad dollars, so they'll put a rerun of CSI, which will bring them a hell of a lot more ad dollars than a rerun of Life on Mars, which isn't necessarily the wisest thing as far as trying to, like, get your other shows to succeed. But it is the business reason. One thing I was going to say was that I agree about Pushing Daisies. I really think they should have rerun Pushing Daisies during the summer.
And Dirty Sexy Money, too.
Yeah, they really missed the boat on several of those where they didn't have a whole lot of other things that they were putting on anyway. And they should have been rerunning those things that were coming up that, as we talked about, were going to take a little bit of effort to get back into. And if they had rerun them, maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe it would have reminded
you. Could have rerun that whole Wednesday night lineup since they decided not to bring anything back on those shows after the writer's strike. You know, so they only they only had a limited number of episodes. They still could have run a decent portion of them over the time on Wednesday night, and then it would have been right there to pick up when the fall season started.
Are you talking about in the fall or in the spring?
Over the summer, I'm saying they could have rerun that whole Wednesday night lineup over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall anything. What did they have
instead of trying to pick it right back up?
Yeah, like, I don't recall anything off the top of my head that was so important that it had to be on a Wednesday in the summer. Like, they could have not saved their shows, but at least given the opportunity for people to remember them.
And at that point, they couldn't even say that they weren't bringing in ratings and therefore it didn't make any sense ad-wise. And I just don't understand it. Like, even from a standpoint of you're going to release DVDs, why wouldn't you be rerunning the shows a couple of weeks before you're going to release DVDs so you remind people that they liked the show? And you're not going to show them all those episodes again, so now they can go out and buy the DVD. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, it just drives me a little crazy.
The thing about ABC is they're very, I mean, not to knock ABC, but sort of to knock ABC. Like, they are very, we own a show, so we care more about it.
Right.
Like ABC Studios makes Lost. Warner Brothers Studios makes Pushing Daisies.
True.
And
Lost was all over the TV this summer, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not necessarily on ABC. I think they were airing it on ABC, too, on, like, the weekends or something. But it was all over. Or where are their other stations? I can't remember.
Well, I don't know. It's been on G4. It's been on Sci-Fi. Like, it's been syndicated everywhere.
Right.
But, I mean, I know Pushing Daisies had 9 episodes, so it's not like they could do that. And we're just using Pushing Daisies as an example. But I kind of think that, didn't Fox rerun Sarah Connor?
They did.
The premiere was kind of a bump in ratings for that show. I mean, it went down since then, but people found because it was being rerun. Like, do you remember the days when, like, I used to watch Alias and reruns over the summer?
I know.
To get psyched about the new season. And, like, you knew that when the season finale reran, it was time for the season premiere. Like, that was before I actually watched when premieres were going to be and counted my days by them, but I know. I don't know.
Well, during the middle of the season, like Ray said earlier, the reason that the networks don't rerun shows, even so much when they take a, you know, like a break during Christmas or stuff like that, is a lot of shows, they don't rerun them because they don't do well ratings wise. If they're a good enough show that they're on the schedule, they do well the first time, but a lot of shows don't do well enough in a second run that putting on a special game show or some, you know, low cost or, you know, lower cost to produce new reality show, or just doing a rerun from two seasons ago of CSI or something like that, all produce bigger ratings and thus,
well,
you know,
they can also
more money to network.
They can also charge more for a new show, if I understand correctly. So like their rerun, if they're putting a reality show in place of a scripted show, and all I mean is like they're putting a reality show instead of putting a rerun in that slot, they can charge more ad monies because it's not a rerun. It's a fresh show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes more sense, like as far as their ad dollars coming in. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing because I don't know how DVRs affect that. Like the fact that people can watch on DVRs right now, they're getting some credit for the fact that people are watching something on a DVR within 7 days of it airing. When you're talking about reruns, do they get any added bonus for the fact that somebody's watching it on a DVR?
I don't know. Ratings are a whole other ball of wax that I could go on for hours because I know a lot of people and I know no one with a Nielsen box.
I know one person with a Nielsen box, or one person who had one. I don't know that she still does because they change them around all the time, but she had one for a little while. Can we move on to our second topic now? Because we're
off to the next part of our topic. Since it's Thanksgiving, we thought we would talk about the TV characters that we would like to have over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Thank you to Sean for his suggestion.
Sean of TV Talk at Blog Talk Radio.
And we talked about this yesterday when we did our radio show, but I jokingly said that I would have all the hot guys because I'm the one on the talk that is always like, oh, and he's really cute, so that makes it better. But seriously, I would. I would have Coach Eric Taylor, Kyle Chandler at my table. He could carve the turkey. And Charlie Cruz, and he can bring the fruit. And Taylor Kitsch. Yeah, Taylor Kitsch. Tim Riggins, and he could go shirtless. I'm just saying. Just a suggestion. He could bring a shirt, take it off later. I'm not... Whatever.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem.
Exactly. I'm sure I'm going to pipe in with like six more people as we go. But does anybody else have someone they'd want to have at their Thanksgiving dinner?
I do, but Jason, do you want to go first or are you?
I don't know. The last minuteness of this topic idea, I haven't thought of it enough to know who. If you were trying to go off of... you go. I'm just trying to think. Maybe go with the shows that are on now.
So I'm drawing a table on my notepad right now.
Seating chart and everything.
I do. Oh, I don't have a seating chart because, you know, like I would mix it up a little, but I'm just going to tell you,
right.
Sitting around the table, on one corner of the table, I've got Sean and Gus,
mm-hmm.
and the crew from Psych. They don't have to bring everybody, but, you know, the main guys.
Whoever's available.
Exactly. Sean and Gus have to come, probably with their dad, but... not their dad. He's not both of their dads. Whatever.
I'll have Juliet over.
No. Juliet is at my dinner. Excuse me. It's my turn right now.
We're going to duke it out over people. Sorry, you have him next Thanksgiving.
Exactly. And then at the other corner, I've got, of course, the gang from How I Met Your Mother, not to be predictable or anything, because I would be living in their world. But yes, they're here as well. And, you know,
then maybe I'm there too, because I'm living in that world.
All right, Jason, you can come.
Maybe How I Met Your Mother cast does like an early dinner at Ray's house and a late dinner at Jason's, something like that. You know, they look like they could enjoy two plates of food.
That's true. And they have to fly, so they'll be going back in time, so it won't be that bad. So I've got Psych people. I've got some How I Met Your Mother. Of course, I have Chuck and Sarah.
Right, right.
And Casey will be there because he's surveilling them. And the guys from, I don't want everybody from By Moria. Just Morgan and Anna.
Right.
Let's cut this down a little. Captain Awesome, of course, and Ellie can be there.
You have a giant...
I do have a giant table. I have a large family. Whatever. You asked me who I wanted to come to my dinner, and I'm telling
That's
you.
That's true. That's true.
I would also... He would not be able to come, so he would send his condolences. Although I am close to Miami, so maybe he could get away with it. Michael Weston... And Fiona.
Right.
More importantly, I would invite the mother. What's her name right now? Madeline?
Madeline?
Mm-hmm. I would invite Madeline because Madeline is the one who would make sure that Michael and Fiona came. But I don't know if they'd actually be able to get out of Miami. So I don't know. Maybe we would have it at my mom's house because it's a little closer to Miami and they might be able to get away with it.
Oh, does your mom know that 800 people are coming to dinner?
She'll enjoy it. It's okay.
While I'm sitting here thinking about who I would have over for Thanksgiving dinner... I'm finding out that they're all taken already.
Exactly. Well, I'm narrowing your choices down, so it's okay.
Jason's I'll just take everybody that's left, whatever. Whoever's left, come on over.
And Megan and them are in West Palm.
No, you can't take
me. In fact, you know what? I just had a good idea. We're all going to go to Megan's, my entire crew, because they have a huge table. They have a mansion, so what the hell? And it's West Palm, Jason, so Michael can come.
Yeah. Jason, you go because...
Also Jim Megan. And Pam and Dean and Sam. All right, I'm good.
Wow. I love everyone on TV. I get Pushing Daisies.
You can have Pushing Daisies. They live in a different world.
But there'd be good pie for dessert.
Yeah. Oh, they can bring the dessert. Yes.
Damn it. All right, I'm going to order pie from the pie hole. I'm not going to take them because Amory's there having Thanksgiving with them, but I'm going to order from them. Well, you
Jason
asked
still
me.
Hasn't been able to say who he's having.
Well, he has less choices now, so go ahead, Jason.
I don't know. Everybody's taken. Now I'm trying to figure out whether I would fly to Philadelphia or fly to Orlando.
Or West Palm,
since that's where it's taken.
Yeah, I could bring everybody. I mean, because Coach Eric Taylor and Tim Riggins are in Austin. That's where they film. They can just, I mean, it's a shorter drive or fly for them to West Palm. So I think we're just all going to converge on Limoges Castle or whatever it is. And we're going to be there.
It'll be
a Thanksgiving. I make a mean mashed potato.
Yum. I make good.
Jason's going to be stuck with like house, and he's such a curmudgeon. He won't like anything you cook.
I'll be stuck eating with the geeks from the Big Bang Theory.
Oh man, they could come too.
They would be fine though. We could play rock, paper, scissors over who gets the wishbone.
That's how we should decide who gets to go where for Thanksgiving. Since we all want to invite some of the same people.
There's a slight problem with doing that.
We have to play Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock. That's the way to decide.
There's a slight problem with doing that because you guys can't see me, so I'm always going to have the winning hand.
Right.
Sorry.
What is Lizard? What did they show what the Lizard... Anyway, we're getting off topic. Go figure.
I don't remember if they showed what it looked like. All right, whatever. That's who I'm having to Thanksgiving. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving.
And the ghost hunters. The ghost hunters are coming with me, and we're going to go on a ghost hunt invention.
You're going to do a ghost hunt live on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
There'll be some controversy about your thing.
Yes, and then they're going to claim that my jacket was pulled by a nibble wire in my coat. Oh. Hey, ghost hunters, I love you. Anyway. And Jason still hasn't gotten to say who he wants for Thanksgiving Day.
All right, you can have whoever you want, Jason.
Because
I'm having Thanksgiving by myself, and I think I'm heading to West Palm because all the people that I'd invite are all there for the most part.
I'm inviting the sick pup from the Sheena Ibu camp.
You don't have to invite them; you can just put the cam on.
Yeah, exactly. We can all sit and watch them. Anyway,
she's gonna have the puppies up on the big screen in that living room. Projected on the wall.
Yes, I am. Hilarious. But I digress.
Us digress? That's ridiculous.
Never.
Are you adding more, Jason? We have to move on to primetime.
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to primetime. I'll just be sitting alone. Maybe you could put up a webcam and I could watch your Thanksgiving from with all the people there.
It'll be popular because there'll be all of everybody's favorite TV stars with me.
And nobody's going to be watching the people in my house. I got pushed the babies in Friday Night Lights.
You don't get any ratings anyway.
Yeah. Apparently, Amory's Thanksgiving has been canceled due to low ratings.
No, they're still going to air the Thanksgiving episode.
I am crying. This is amazing.
All right. Let's move on to prime time. All right, so we went through and picked our shows this week. Which, luckily, we picked one from Sunday, so we can start with Sunday. And I picked it.
Well, aren't you
I just meant, like, I'm the one I think that said I had something to say about Desperate Housewives. Did any of you have any comments about Desperate Housewives?
I can probably comment on what you have to comment, so yeah.
Okay. I can comment on your comments.
Start us off, right?
We're all drunk on turkey.
We are. I'm just
on TV leftovers.
I'm laughing at the people at my table because, come on, I have a lot of comedy people. All right. except Sam and Dean, who are just, well, they're there for the hot girls. All right. Moving on. Desperate Housewives. I just wanted to say that I guess I just wasn't spoiled at all. I wasn't paying any attention to promos or whatever. So I had no idea that the fire was supposed to be like this big, huge thing. And Mark Cherry made some comment about how it was like the hardest effects that they've done. Or I don't remember if it was hardest, but it was something. Most challenging effects that they've done for the show. And to which I have just to say, what? Because
they did a tornado.
Right. They did a tornado. But, like, the fire, like, we didn't even really get to see much of the fire. So, like, how was that? Like, they just used smoke effects. But whatever. Okay. I don't really have a comment about that. What I wanted to say, well, my comment was about Lynette. And I don't blame Lynette for what happened with the wife. The wife is sleeping with somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, that's not Lynette's fault. But I had a moment there where I was like, I'm about to have to quit this show, like, right in the middle of an episode. Because Lynette walked out of that house. And that just was not cool. If she hadn't gone back, I don't know that I would still be watching Pushing Daisies.
Well, nobody is.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
Desperate Housewives would have been Pushing Daisies on your list.
Exactly. Because I probably would have turned it off if she had not gone back in. I wasn't angry. I just was, for that moment, I was really disappointed in Lynette. And I was afraid that that's where they were going with her. And that just would not have been cool. But luckily, she went back in and she stood up to the guy. So saved to be watched another day.
I will say Andrea Bowen didn't look an age over, like she didn't look like she was supposed to be this 24-year-old girl. I'm just saying.
I agree. Like we had talked about this back when we talked about like shows that were doing the time jump and how we were wondering what that was going to be like with her. And she looks exactly the same as she did when she was on the show as 16. So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Which made it even creepier that she was dating Stephen Weber.
Who was totally creepy and clingy in this episode. I was kind of put off by him.
It just proves that he's a good actor because we love him normally and he's so charming.
He'll be back on Brothers and Sisters in a much better role.
Are those your comments on my comments, Amory?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well then let's move to Monday Night and Chuck because that's the next one on our list, which I don't have a lot of comments on it, so you guys should start with your comments. Jason was the one who said he had something to say. So say it, Jason.
Let it out.
Well, I love the episode. I've loved this whole season. It's just been great. It's a lot of fun. There's, you know, a lot of great moments in the last episode. But I have a problem. This whole time they're going after this list that's supposed to have rogue agents on it, correct? Am I right? That's what they're looking for. And they finally get it. They get it decrypted. And they're running it against a list of agents, of known, you know, of agents. And then if it's... If they're a bad agent, it's marking them as such and popping up their picture. And so my problem with it is wouldn't somebody have known that she was an agent to be a rogue agent?
I've thought about this because I've seen other people ask the same question, and I thought what they said, well, not what they said, maybe what they said was wrong, but I got the feeling that the list was a list of Fulcrum agents. And they were comparing it to their list of CIA agents and marking anybody who came up as. That's why it would like occasionally like stop and keep going.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying is
hers just flashed. I mean, they stopped it on her because they stopped the scene on it. But hers just flashed and she happened to look up and see that she was an agent of a Fulcrum agent. It didn't mean that she was a CIA agent.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
well,
it
see,
was
yeah.
comparing the Fulcrum list with their CIA list to see which ones were the same.
Yeah, I know, but that's what's confusing is that's what was flat is they kept showing briefly, you know, one photo would stop when one would be found, and so you were like, okay, that's an agent that's a Fulcrum agent.
It doesn't.
And then all of a sudden,
I think they just showed hers for longer, like for dramatic effect.
I don't think.
Yeah, I know, but still, if they're searching a database of agents and then it's popping up the ones, I understand that they showed it as, you know, for a longer for dramatic effect and that they basically stopped, you know, what they were doing and took off running. But it still to me is confusing because if you're saying that they're just popping up lists of Fulcrum agents that aren't rogue agents.
Fulcrum, they're popping up agents that, like, they have this list of Fulcrum agents. They're popping up people that match to their CIA list.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think she matched. I think they just showed her because didn't match.
Hold on.
Then why would she pop up in that list? Why would she pop up on there if she's not a rogue agent?
It's not necessarily showing just the rogue agents. What it's showing is when it has to pause and search a little bit further to make sure whether it's a match or not. So, like, it's not necessarily – not everybody they were pausing on necessarily had to be a rogue agent. Do you know what I'm saying? Like – if you think back, like if you think to other like spy shows you watch and when, or any show that's like doing a database comparison.
But at any rate, so you're saying that, you're saying that you think that the picture that showed up was just, but see, that's what's confusing me you're saying that she's just a Fulcrum agent, not also, you know, she just works for the bad guys, but is not actually part of any other government.
Correct.
CIA or
right.
See, that's what's confusing to me is I don't see it that way. It's because they were running, if they're running it against a list and then they see it, I don't know. Maybe they'll explain it to me.
My problem with it was that it happened at all. Like, it was so predictable. That's the only thing I had. Like, I was so bothered, not bothered.
You mean?
You said, yeah. Like the fact that why did she have to be an agent? We knew that it was going to happen. It was very predictable. As soon as the whole dramatic montage, they're doing it. There's pictures scrolling.
Well, yeah, at that moment, it's predictable, but I don't know that it was predictable all the way. I mean, I knew some people who guessed it, but
right.
If I hadn't been spoiled by the WB person, because I hadn't watched the episodes yet when she wrote and said, please don't spoil anybody. If I hadn't been spoiled by her, I wouldn't have known. I mean, I might have figured it out at that point, but I don't think you're not supposed to figure it out at that point. Like, hello, okay. You're gonna, you know what I mean? Like, what else is it gonna be at that moment?
I mean, I can understand not having a reason to bring her back if she wasn't gonna be a spy. You know what I mean? Like, retrospect or whatever, but...
That's why other people guessed it, because they were like, as soon as they heard that she was coming back for sweeps, it was the only thing that made sense was that she was gonna turn out to be something. I mean, I could maybe agree with that, but I don't have a problem with it, because I like where it's taking the story, so I don't really have a problem with that being predictable. Like, the show is not, it's not doing anything that's always, like, not predictable. I can't think of the right word. Like, it's not doing something, you know, it's like, it's not always coming up with a unique storyline, so it doesn't bother me that they're doing something that...
New ground, necessarily.
Yeah, as long as they're doing it well, I'm okay with what they're doing.
Right, which, like I said the other day, like, it's good predictable in the fact that it's still a really good TV show, and I'm not disappointed with the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm still going to watch, I'm still very into it, so...
All right, well, let's stop Chuck now, because... Keeping us on time, sorry. Let's move on to Life, which was the next one on our list. Again, I think this was Jason and Amory who wanted to talk about Life. Did you both of you want to talk about it?
Sure. Like, I'm again going to comment on Jason's comment. So, Jason, you can go.
In regards to Life, I thought it was the best episode of the season, at least for me. I really enjoyed a lot of what happened in the episode. But as comparison to, I think, a comment I made on it last week, this week it didn't intercut back and forth at weird times between whatever the case of the week was and the overarching mystery of that he's looking into of who set him up. They left that little bit till the very end, and so it seemed more organic, and the whole episode flowed a lot better. It didn't seem choppy and weird, and it didn't take me out of all right. the, you know, messed me up for great stuff that happened, like the scene before they go in to raid the drug dealer guy's house. They're all talking and, you know, that's not your gun and why do you have glitter on your face? And that whole scene was just outstanding.
I mean, yeah, I think that they're really coming into their own, and I love that Christina Hendricks was on. I think that she brings something. I wish that, I mean, I love her on Mad Men, so I don't want to see her leave that.
She brings a couple of somethings. But...
Yeah, she does. But she's so just, I love her. And I just think she's so nice with Ted.
I like this episode too. I don't know that I would say that it was my favorite of the season, but I liked it a lot. I also did like that scene where they did the, like, they all got there and none of them wanted to say why. Were writhing at the same time, or they had glitter on their face, whatever. It was very funny. The one thing I want to say about it is that I feel like the promo for the next episode kind of ruined the end there. Because I don't know how you could not show a promo, but you know what I mean? Like, at the end, they do, like, this is a kidnapping, and he, like, smashes open the window, so... The idea, of course, is supposed to be that we're thinking that Charlie is going to get kidnapped, right? Mm-hmm. Except that then we saw, like, 2 seconds later, a promo for the next episode in which Charlie and Reese are solving a case. So even though, you know, probably something is happening that Charlie gets out of it, it just was like that moment where I'm like, well, I guess he's not kidnapped for too long.
Yeah. I guess they don't have him for a whole episode or.
So that kind of ruined that a little bit. But I can't complain too much because at least they're promoing it and Life, you know what I mean? Like, I want Life to stay around.
Exactly.
So I don't want to complain about them doing what they said that they weren't doing for Push. Well, that's not the same show, same network, but you know what I mean? Like, in general, I don't want to complain about them doing something that I didn't feel like they were doing for other shows. So.
Right. Exactly.
So that was my one comment. All right. Well, let's move right along since we're on a time crunch today, people, because Amory has plans. So,
yes.
Trying to keep us moving. All right. So, yes. Our next one was Pushing Daisies, which sadly.
I just loved everything about this episode. I don't know. It started with, you know, I talked to Fred Willard. He's my favorite person on the planet. Like, if I had to list favorite people on the planet, Fred Willard and the Christopher Guest people are very, very high. And I told that to him. I said, you're one of my favorite people on the planet. And he said, thank you. But you okay. know what I just felt like? I felt like Mindy Kaling doing Kelly Kapoor. Like, that's what I felt like. I don't know. I just thought it was great. It flowed. It was funny. And Lee Pace was great. And it was just a really good chance for everybody to shine. And then
nobody watched.
Nobody cared.
It was really good. That phone call with Chuck calling.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Or not that one phone, like multiple phone calls where she tried
when
to get her to
when sing. She's in French and she's, oh, so good.
So awesome. I wish they had been doing that, honestly. I wish they'd been doing that since the beginning of, like, not since the beginning of the season. I wish she'd discovered maybe a little earlier. And then mm-hmm. ever since then, she's been trying to get her to talk about it. Because that would have been a funny running gag if every yeah. episode we had her doing a different type of phone call. But what are you going
to
do?
I mean, that's really all I had to say, that I loved it and I'm sad and I wish that people would have loved it as much as me.
I'm sorry. Me too.
It's okay. I'm not really crying.
Okay, yet. Good. Okay, good, because it still has a couple more episodes.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll air them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. All right, well, then let's...
Putting that final nail in the coffin, as it were.
Sorry. Unfortunately, Ned won't be able to open up the coffin and save you. All right.
Oh, sad.
All right, let's let that
die, as it were. Oh, God.
Oh, so bad. All right.
Speaking of dead,
let's move on to Grey's Anatomy, where you guys are being vexed by someone who is dead. I have not watched it yet, but I'm okay with being spoiled because all of you damn people on Twitter have already spoiled me 1,000 times. Thank you for that, by the way.
Right.
Sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
Yes. I just want to... Dear... Shonda Rhimes. Danny is dead.
I'm not sure she's listening anymore after you did the news segment, but go ahead.
Fine. Dear someone else that's not Shonda Rhimes who may be listening and could get a message to her, Danny's dead. Danny died. We all had a good cry about it. Katherine Heigl was on the floor in a pretty pink dress for about 4 episodes. Move on. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. If it's not a brain tumor, then what the hell is going on?
Exactly.
And I'm not going to wait until February to find out because it sounds like they're not getting rid of JDM anytime soon.
I don't know, but there better be a really, really good reveal. Or...
Oh, yeah. It better be really good. Like, blow your mind.
Or the show is going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so here's the funny thing. You say that, but last night they had their best ratings since their premiere. Is it because people are tuning in to see Dead Denny and people are talking about Dead Denny and that's why they're tuning in? I don't know, but they had their best ratings since the premiere. So,
in my mind... I like to believe that yes. people are tuning in to see my new best friend, Owen Hunt.
McKid.
Did you guys read the interview that I did with him?
I did.
Okay. Well, my favorite part was at the end where my favorite part of the interview was my editor's note, as it were, where he's like, oh, I'm McKid. And I was like, I imagine he said it with a Scottish wink. Like, I just picture him being all charming and being like, oh, I'm McKid. I'm like, that's his sign off. I just love him. And in my mind, people are watching Grey's not for Dead Denny and the Dead Denny sex, but for Owen Hunt and the future Owen and Christina sex.
Hey.
I didn't give anything away that my interview didn't, if you read it. Oh.
No. Now you've given something away because now you've... That's not what I was going to say, but...
What were you going to say?
Nothing. I was going to be an idiot. I was going to say, if he's McKid, have the people on the show talked about him being McKid and how they can't give him a Mick name? But then I realized that he's not McKid on the show. He's Owen right. Hunt on the show. So that doesn't make any sense. So I'm an idiot.
So you all right. said it anyway, basically.
Well, yes.
Well, I saw somebody write something someplace. They called him McBadass.
On the show? They called him McBadass?
No, not on the show. It was just somebody writing about what they should call him.
And I don't care about those people. I don't care about what they say you should call him. I'm just saying
that's what somebody else thought that he should, because he's the, you know, he's sort of like the new,
I'm
well,
not
he's
sure
the new sensitive
show,
badass on the show.
I'm not sure the people on the show would consider him a badass. They consider him annoying because they have to deal with that. So it has to reflect what they would think of him.
You can do anything at Seattle Grace Hospital as long as you're an intern.
That's what I say. That was my thought at the end of last night's episode, is what exactly does it take to get fired, yeah, or let go as an intern at Seattle Grace? Because as long as you're an intern, you are golden.
Oh yeah.
You can just say,
you can kill
it's
people.
A mistake.
You can cut people open.
You can do legal surgery on your own.
Maybe they're going somewhere with that. Because they've brought it up multiple times. Don't you think that they would realize that they're showing that the hospital that they have all these people working at is bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I don't trust that they're going somewhere with it, because, there was no real fallout from Denny either. So, but mm-hmm. It just makes me wonder, because they have Denny back. So, of course, that's on our mind. And then they're doing, the interns are still doing things that are not allowed. I don't know. Interesting. All right. Whatever. We're moving on from Grays, because we've talked about Grays a lot in this podcast and last week. Amory, you had comments about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, I was very excited for the season finale because it was a musical episode. And every time that they sing, it makes my heart sing a little bit. But last night, I was kind of disappointed.
I would agree with you.
I thought Charlie's ending song, Yellow Suit, was amazing. Just because he was in that yellow suit. But I don't know. Overall, it was just meh.
I didn't care for his ending song, to be honest with you. Because it was a bad, okay, true. Yeah. It was the embarrassing. The funny thing is, of all of the scenes in the play, his was the most embarrassing scene in the play.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst scene in the play. Their scenes weren't, they weren't great or anything. They weren't, outstanding. But, amazingly, I think I would have sat through their scenes. But if I had gone to the play and as soon as he came out and was doing his thing, I would have been oh my God, we're leaving.
We were saying, how did they get everybody in the audience?
I have no idea. Nobody comes to the bar, but all these people come to their musical.
I know. And my one, funny. I will say my favorite part about it, though, was Dee, how she mentioned she couldn't raise her arms. And then she had to do the karate.
Yes.
Caitlin Olsen does it no one else. That was amazing.
She's so funny. All right. Well, I'm sad.
That's all I have to say about that.
I will agree with you that it was a little disappointing, especially because it was the finale and you got on a high note and just didn't happen.
I mean, I know we have 60,000 episodes left of the show, but still, you should have gone out on a high note.
I know. All right. So we're going to move on to the next and last show, I guess. Well, first, I'm going to say Amory has not watched Supernatural, so we're going to talk about Supernatural in 2 weeks when we come back from our Thanksgiving break. So I'm going to hold off on making any comments at all. And everybody out there should watch it. Make sure you watch it, because we're going to talk about it next time. All right, so moving on to Ugly Betty. And this was one that I put on the list that I wanted to talk about. So I Twittered that 20 minutes maybe into the episode that I think that Betty and I are about to part ways. And I stand by that because I was asked by Merle Jur. Sorry. Oh, 30 Rock. that's on Twitter, by the way, not from 30 Rock. I was asked why, because he thought that the episode was a good episode, and I would agree that it was a pretty good episode. But the thing I have a problem with is that, one, it's repetitive. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. Two, it's predictable. And by repetitive, I mean every week it feels like Daniel does something to betray Betty, and he is apologetic for it, but he never learns from it. He's just a selfish asshole, basically. And then by the end of the episode, he does something to redeem himself, and Betty forgives him, and it's all hugs and kisses, and they're back to whatever. And I guarantee you that in a week or 2 weeks, whenever they come back, that it's going to happen all over again, because it keeps happening. Every episode this season feels like it's happened. And that drives me crazy. And two, they've run into this wall with Betty where Betty is upset right now about where she is in life. And at least she got into the Eddie program. So I guess that could be enough for a little while to make her feel like she's making some improvements. But I feel like they can't take Betty out of mode, or they don't have the show. And they can't make Betty an editor at mode, or they don't have the show, because the whole point is that she's, the secretary. She's the one who's not succeeding. That's the whole premise of the show. So they kind of have got themselves into this little bit of a corner where they can't really have her succeed, or the show changes completely. And I don't know if they're going to find a creative way to deal with it. But right now it feels like they just keep doing the same things over and over again, where she makes a little bit of progress and then immediately gets smacked back down. And I can't keep watching that over and over again.
Yeah. I also, and this is going to be very superficial, but I cannot stand the braces.
Longer she's going to wear the braces?
I say that every time. You can ask anybody at my house on a Thursday night, and there's usually 10 people here. I am screaming at the TV, lose the braces. I hate them.
I've had that question before, because I never had braces. But how long do people wear braces for?
Not that long.
No, like I think my sister had brains had them for 4 years, but hers was like a severe case. Sorry, brains.
But poor brains.
I don't think she listens anyway.
Okay, good.
But yeah, and certainly not adult braces. Adult braces don't go on for as long as Betty has had them.
And nobody in this day and age, quite frankly, has those type of braces anymore.
Exactly.
You have the clear braces. Even if you don't want the clear braces, that's what they're giving you these days. So,
which, like, I mean, I guess I get it because, you know, Betty's not exactly from this day and age, but they need to go. I mean, I can handle the bushy eyebrows and the giant hair that's so not America and the clothes that she puts together and really thinks they match. Like, I can handle that. I can't handle the braces.
You know, I have issues with that. Although they addressed it a little bit in this episode where they like showed basically that she has no fashion sense. And that's why obviously she keeps dressing like she does. Yeah. But I just have a real issue with that. They want us to believe that she's this really smart girl who picks up on pretty much everything else. Why doesn't she at least pick up on that? I must not have really good fashion sense because everybody makes fun of me. Why don't I just copy something from a book?
Right.
I work in a fashion magazine.
Why don't I try one pattern?
Exactly.
Instead of 87 in one outfit.
All right, whatever. So that's why. I just wanted to justify and tell everybody that that's why I'm having a problem with Ugly Betty. It doesn't matter that this episode was really good. I actually teared up at the end when Betty and Daniel were making up. And I think that's what pisses me off the most is that every week they get me. And all I can think, like, when it starts to happen the next week, I'm like, Ray, you know what they're going to do over again. Right. Like, it just drives me up the wall. And they just need to get out of that rut that they're in. And I don't know how they're going to do it, and I don't know if I'll be around when they do. We'll see. All right. So I think that's all of the shows we wanted to talk about. Any closing thoughts on Primetime? Quickly. Any closing thoughts? No? Yes? No? No?
Those of you who didn't watch Pushing Daisies, you only have yourselves to blame.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. Sound like a very thinly veiled threat.
It did sound like that. It's very true, though. They do only have themselves to blame. Because we were all watching it. Sadly,
you're gonna want to die when you watch it on DVD and you don't have it.
There'll be no coming back to life from that. All right. All right. Well,
death in this episode.
A lot of death. Let's wrap up then. Just a reminder, you can call us at 213-985-3176. We'd love to hear who you are having over for Thanksgiving dinner from TV. Don't forget, I have a majority of them, so don't be trying to steal them from me, okay?
Yeah, you can't have any of ours.
Exactly. If we claim them already, you can't take them. But there's a lot of other people on TV, so feel free.
We'll send you the web address where you can get to that webcam.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm just teasing. Of course, we would love to hear who you're going to have at dinner. You can also check out all of our podcasts on our website at tvtimes3.com. Spell it all out. Our music today was provided by iodapromonet.com. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers on their Mercurial title put out by Yellow Dog Records. You guys, I think that wraps us up. Well, before we go, one thing that everybody's thankful for this year at Thanksgiving? TV related, please.
TV related. What am I thankful for? I am thankful for Tim Regan's abs.
Because you're not shallow, Jason.
Hey, you know, I'm just putting it like it is.
I'll say privilege getting more episodes so that we'll at least get an 18-episode season.
I am thankful for my friends at New Media Strategies and USA for sending me to Burn Notice and Psych, which were the highlights of the year.
You know what? I'm with Ray. That was awesome.
Excuse me?
I'm thankful for the Ghost Hunters because they took me on their fantastic journey in Colorado.
All right. And Sci-Fi.
I was thinking...
Sci-Fi. And New Media Strategies, obviously.
I was thinking more recent or whatever, not necessarily over, but yes, definitely thankful for the trip to visit the set of Psych. That was totally awesome.
Excuse me. Stop clamming in on my thankfulness, people.
I can be thankful. I was there too.
For more shallowness, I am thankful for Zachary Levi having to get down to his skivvies. All right. That's it.
All righty.
All right, everybody. We hope that you have a great Thanksgiving, no matter where you are. Even if you are not in the United States, we hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, USA Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, happy Thursday.
Yeah, or a good Thursday.
If you're going out there shopping for Black Friday, make sure that you get plenty of TV gifts. And call us up, actually, and tell us about what TV gifts you bought so that we can talk about that in a future topic in December. Good holiday gifts for TV lovers. All right, everybody, let's say goodbye. Bye.
All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Let's wrap up. I don't know what we're saying.
All right, okay. Let's wrap up our leftovers and take them home.